Today's Mishnah Masechet Uktzin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is Perek Beit Mishnah Tet. So you will recall the differences that we've been discussing in many places. The halachas of a otzitz, which is nokuv, versus the din of an otzitz she'eno nokuv. Now, basically, at this point, we are pivoting our concentration in Uktzin. So until now, things were very clear. We were dealing with Yadais, Shaimrim, Tziruf, Chibur, all of those in Yanim, which allow us to determine whether the Tumah has moved from one thing to another. Now, we're moving on to discuss some special halachas of Tumah that are Nogea Oichlin that we put together with Uktzin, because Uktzin essentially discusses how broad our definition of Oichlin are. So, if you take into consideration that something that was actually grown, we just discussed this in Menachos, when we were talking about Kilayim in a flower pot and so on. So, we had the same question, and we talked about what would be if you made a hole in the flower pot in the middle, if you're able to take Trumas and Maestras from the thing itself that grew. So, as usual, it turns out that the sugya in Uktzin touches upon the same kind of questions. So what happened over here is that you planted your kishut. Remember that kishut is, what is that called, Barnea? What? Barnea, you sent a picture of it. It's a certain type of melon which tastes and looks like...
Oh, the shaped melon?
Yes.
Oh, there okay.
You go. So it's a cucumbery melon. Okay. So this is the real meaning of a kishut. It has a little bit of fluff of downy hair on its skin. And that's how we know it can't be a cucumber from the description in the mission we had before. And now you planted a kishut in a flower pot on your porch, and it didn't have a hole in the flower pot. And it now starts growing. And it was higdila v'yatza chutz la'atzitz. It grew so big that it spread out new growths outside of the flower pot. So if the part that was inside of the flower pot original, that part became tummy. Now it grows out, and now it's considered to be connected to the ground. The moment that the plant becomes connected to the ground, it loses its tuna. Because once you plant something in the ground, it cannot be tummy. And so the plant here that grew outside now is hanging over the ground. That's considered to be mechuber lekarka, and it's therefore tahor. Omar Rabbi Shimon. So that means, according to this, the whole thing loses its tumah. Omer Rabbi Shimon, wait a minute over here. Why would the part of the kishut that grows outside of the flower pot, why would it get the power to be metayer the whole kishut? Even the part that was tameh before, that had grown in the flower pot before, and there was no hole there. I mean, it's not itself exposed to the ground. I say whatever was tameh remains tameh. And all of the new growth, which is considered to be mechuber lekarka, that is considered to be tahor, and it's yechel, it's not affected by the tumah. So that means that even if you have a single plant in which, according to Rabbi Shimon, part of it can be tameh, and part of it can be tahor, and it would be allowed to be eaten because the tumah doesn't extend into the area that is mechuber lekarka. Wow. Masechet Uktzin, Perek, Beit, Mishnah, Yud. Okay, amazing. Now, there's also the same questions that are Nogea Hechsher, right? You can only be Machsher, something that needs Hechsher, you can only be Machsher it if it's not attached to the ground. And obviously, if the Torah was saying that only something exposed to water is Tameh, well, it'd be very hard to find a vegetable that wouldn't be exposed to water, if the chibur lekarka is by definition exposure to water. So obviously we're not talking about the water, the groundwater. We're talking about water that it's exposed to after it's taken out of the ground. Then you can be makshir it, and then it's roy to be mekabel tumah. So now, if it's inside a flower pot and there's no hole, so then you can actually be makshir it by getting it wet. And if it's in a flower pot with a hole and it rains on it and you want it to get wet, it wouldn't matter because it's still considered to be mechubel karka, and a dover mechubel karka cannot be mukshir lekabel tumah. But there are cases where even when something is in a kli without a hole, it's considered to be mechubel karka. And how is that? In a completely porous kelim. So in porous kelim, where the nourishment is actually oila min hakarka, and all of the interrelationship with the karka, which only now we're becoming more aware of, that there's an incredible amount of information that passes essentially from one plant to another, and from the ground itself, giving information about the nature of the nutrients and the nature of the plants in the area. And incredibly, that plants actually know how much pressure there's going to be on the currently available nutrients to plan out the reproductive strategies and so on. These are things that nobody imagined even 50 years ago. Klei gilalim v'klei adama, without holes in them. But they're made out of dung, or they're made out of clay, which is not hardened, and they're soft enough, that over time, roots will find their way through the actual body of the kli and start growing outside. Those are not considered to be separate from the ground, and they are as if they are mechubar lekarka. And because of that, even if you pour water on the plants that are growing in them, it's not going to be mukshir lekabel tumah because it's considered to be mechubar lekarka. All of the nutrients can still get through. All of the information that's available through the air normally above the ground will still get through. Otzitz nakuv, now regular flower pot that is hard, if it has a hole in it, then it's considered to be mechubar lekarka, and heksher, it's not going to work. But if it's a regular hard flower pot, then if it doesn't have a nekev, it is mekabel heksher for what's growing in it, and it's like anything else growing in the ground. But how big does that hole have to be? Kama hu shiuro shel hanekev, kidei sheyetzei b'shoresh katan. It has to be big enough for a small root to be able to go through that hole and grow from the ground. Doesn't need it there, but it needs to be big enough for it to happen. Now let's talk about a case where there is no hole. And afal pikein, it's considered to be mechubar lekarka, even though it's made out of hard material. How would that be? Well, let's imagine a case where you put in so much topsoil in it, you were melau afar atzifato, so it was filled up all the way to the top. If it's filled up all the way to the top, then it's similar to a tabla she'en lo lesbeis. If it doesn't have a rim, and here effectively it has no rim. So if you would take a flat tray that has no rim around it, and you would put karka on it, what would the din of that karka be? Mechubar lekarka or not mechubar lekarka? The halacha is that since there's no barrier between the karka and the content of this flat tray, it is mechubar lekarka, despite the fact that it has no hole. Well, the same thing is true over here. If you fill up a flower pot to the point where there's no rim around it because the topsoil is right at the top, then it's the equivalent of a tavla, she'en lo lesbeis, a rimless flat tablet. And therefore, since it's exposed completely, it's considered to also be maintaining information, nourishment through the air, and it's considered to be mechubar lekarka without any hole in it. Okay, Rabosai, fascinating, beautiful, beautiful. Ah, such wonderful things to learn about.
Hadron? Hadron?
Without reaching?
Okay.
Hadron alav zeitim shechavish an. Believe me. Okay, we'll start Bezrat Hashem, our closing of Uktzin and of Tyrus tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Be a Merry Pesach?
Yeshua is Venechomites. Sorry?
We make this the Siyam Erev Pesach?
Wow, that's an interesting idea. Wow. Nice idea. Okay. Kol Tov. Looking forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem.